There are over 1,000 known archaeological sites in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. But about 3 hours west of us here in Cancun, there's one place that isn't just another set of ruins left from the culture of the Maya. It's the well-preserved and continuously researched, best-known ancient Maya site of them all, Chichen Itza. Friends, welcome to the Mysteries of Latin America podcast, where we delve into the myths, legends, history, and mysteries of the Americas and the Caribbean. I'm Andrew Colon, your guide, as we explore Chichen Itza in this episode, uncovering its meaning, controversies about practices, like human sacrifices, and incredible recent discoveries. Stay tuned for an intriguing journey ahead. Let's get this going. In 1841, American explorer John Lloyd Stephens and British artist Frederick Catherwood rediscovered the iconic Mayan archaeological site of Chichen Itza, once home to over 30,000 inhabitants. Their meticulous documentation of the grand ancient structures in the dense jungle, published in the book Incidents of Travel in the Yucatan, ignited widespread interest in the Maya civilization and led to expeditions uncovering more mysteries of Chichen Itza and other ancient Maya sites. But this was just the proverbial tip of the pyramid, my friends, as the jungle was hiding a massive secret. An entire city whose roots began sometime around the year 750 BCE and lasted until the Spanish conquest of the New World in the 1500s. And now we get into our first controversy, friends. First of all, let's call the place by its correct name. Most people say Chichen Itza, with the accents on the first syllable of both words. The name is Chichen Itza, accented on the second syllable. And we'll use that pronunciation from now on, out of respect for the people of the Maya culture who live in our area. And no, the Maya did not disappear. The name Chichen Itza has diverse interpretations reflecting the civilization's history. One interpretation is that it means at the mouth of the well of the Itza, referring to the site's proximity to a sacred well, which we'll dive into, pun intended, shortly. This name comes from the Maya words chi, for mouth, chen, well, and Itza, the name of the ruling ethnic group or lineage of the area at the time. Another meaning is the city of the sorcerer of water, suggesting connections to the water deity Chak. A final interpretation is the mouth of the well of the water wizards, emphasizing the location near a sacred well and water-related rituals. The most emblematic figure and the image that's most likely to come up when you search for Chichen Itza online is the Temple of Kukulcan. It's also called El Castillo, the castle in Spanish, which is what the Spanish called it when they got here. And it's the central stepped pyramid structure of Chichen Itza. This structure could have a podcast all on its own. But today, we'll give you the highlights of this amazing example of Mayan ingenuity. The Pyramid of Kukulcan is a masterpiece of Mayan engineering, geometry, and astronomy. It has four staircases, each with 91 steps. 91 times 4 is 364 total steps. The last step is the platform on top, 365, which represents the 365th day of the solar year, under the idea that the pyramid symbolizes the Mayan calendar. The way the pyramid is angled is also pretty fascinating. It's aligned so that its four sides precisely face the cardinal directions north, south, east, and west. If you thought that was impressive, during the spring and fall equinoxes, and we just had our spring equinox here recently, a fascinating phenomenon occurs at the Pyramid of Kukulcan. As the sun sets, shadows cast by the corners of the pyramid create the illusion of a serpent going up or down the pyramid staircase. This is believed to symbolize the ascent or descent of the feathered serpent god Kukulcan, also known in other cultures as Quetzalcoatl. If you're a frequent flyer here on the podcast, you'll remember we did an episode very recently on Quetzalcoatl and Kukulcan. And if not, I invite you to subscribe and check out that very special episode on the feathered serpent god. Now, if you stand in front of the base of the staircase of the pyramid and clap your hands, you'll produce a unique echo. The design of the pyramid is such that the sound reverberates and amplifies and produces a sound that scientists have found to be remarkably close to the call of the Quetzal bird, a bird sacred to the Maya and a remarkably beautiful creature with its long tail, and could have been used for ceremonial purposes or communication during ancient rituals. Built without using what we would consider modern tools or machinery, the pyramid is a testament to the engineering prowess of the ancient Maya. The precise alignment of the pyramid staircases and platforms required meticulous planning and skillful craftsmanship. Of course, this precision has led to ideas that the building of the pyramid and other structures at Chichen Itza had to be the work or the influence of extraterrestrial intelligence. We'll leave that controversy to the people who believe that all ancient structures were built by alien intelligence and that human beings back then couldn't move big rocks using geometry, physics, and a powerful mind. And then there are those who say that the Pyramid of Kukulkan is not a pyramid at all, but rather a series of interconnected temples built on previous structures. And if anything, it's a stepped temple pyramid complex. These same critics say the same thing about the pyramid structures at places like Teotihuacan and Cholula in other parts of Mexico. Unlike the pyramids in Egypt, for example, which have smooth, sloping sides leading to a pointed top, El Castillo has staircases on each of its four sides leading to a flat platform at the top. So, it's technically not a pyramid, according to these critics. While scholars can argue that it doesn't fit the strict definition of a pyramid, people still call it a pyramid due to its iconic shape and significance within Mayan architecture and culture. So yes, still a pyramid. Now let's talk about water. The Yucatan Peninsula has no real above-ground rivers. Our water moves below us in an extensive network of underground rivers and pools in what are called cenotes, naturally formed sinkholes. Chichen Itza's location has an advanced system of reservoirs, wells, and cenotes that provided fresh water for its inhabitants. One of these sinkholes is the Cenote Sagrado, the Sacred Cenote. The Sacred Cenote is only 200 meters or 655 feet or so away from the Pyramid of Kukulkan, and researchers suggest that it had a strong role in the religious and ceremonial activities of Chichen Itza in its heyday, and that the cenote served as a sacred site for the ancient Maya. Archaeological excavations at the Sacred Cenote have revealed numerous offerings of jade, gold, pottery, and human remains. And with the number of human bones found, many archaeologists say that this shows that the cenote was used for ceremonial rituals and, yes, human sacrifices. And that brings us to another controversy. Did they or did they not perform human sacrifices at Chichen Itza or any other part of the Maya or indigenous world? It's been an extensive debate among archaeologists, historians, and anthropologists. Scientists say they definitely performed ritual killings at the site, and that the evidence strongly supports the idea that human sacrifices were performed there and involved the sacred cenote, and the victims were either killed right there or taken and thrown into the water after being sacrificed at the pyramid or other important locations in the ancient Mayan city. While some scholars argue that human sacrifices were an integral part of religious ceremonies, and then there are many who outright deny the occurrence of human sacrifices at Chichen Itza or anywhere else, saying that there's no direct evidence conclusively proving the occurrence of human sacrifices there. They argue that while excavations of the site have uncovered human remains, there's no definitive proof that these individuals were sacrificial victims. Skeptics suggest alternative explanations for the presence of human remains, such as natural deaths or burial practices unrelated to sacrificial rituals. Critics of the human sacrifice hypothesis often cite cultural bias in shaping interpretations of ancient Maya practices, saying that accounts of human sacrifices at Chichen Itza were intentionally invented, exaggerated, and at the very least, misinterpreted by early Spanish chroniclers and later historians to justify their conquest. So what do you think? Did they or didn't they? Let us know in the comments. I'd love to know your opinions. Now, along with the Pyramid of Kukulcan, one of the most impressive areas at Chichen Itza is the Great Ball Court. The Great Ball Court's sheer size, over 6 times longer and 5 times wider than a standard basketball court, and astounding acoustics, suggest that it wasn't just a sporting arena, but also a venue for ritualistic ceremonies, possibly including, you guessed it, human sacrifice. The ball game played at Chichen Itza was said to have been called Poktapok, and involved 2 teams trying to keep a solid rubber ball in play using only their hips, elbows, and knees without the use of their hands or feet. The objective was to get the ball through stone rings mounted on the walls of the ball court. The game symbolized the eternal struggle between the forces of light and darkness, life and death, and was often associated with cosmic events, agricultural cycles, and religious rituals. But scholars today are at odds regarding the ball game. The controversy revolves around the role of human sacrifice in the game. Some researchers argue that the game was directly connected to ritual killings, with the losing team or individual players being sacrificed to appease the gods or ensure fertility and prosperity. And others say it was the winners who had the honor of being sacrificed. Decapitated skulls found near the ball court have led to speculation that in one way or another, someone was killed. Now, the Pyramid of Kukulcan wasn't the only structure used for astronomy. For that, the ancient Maya at Chichen Itza had an unusual cylinder-shaped building with a spiral staircase, now called El Caracol, the shell, or the observatory. El Caracol was constructed with remarkable precision to align with specific astronomical events, including the movements of the Sun, Moon, and Venus. It has openings in its walls that were strategically positioned to observe important astronomical events, like solstices and equinoxes. These alignments suggest that El Caracol served as an astronomical observatory and allowed the Maya to track celestial cycles and make astronomical calculations crucial for their calendar and farming. And similar to the Pyramid of Kukulcan and the ball courts, the observatory shape and layout were deliberately designed to amplify sound, allowing astronomers to communicate or enhance ceremonial rituals possibly conducted inside the observatory. Now, Chichen Itza wasn't only inhabited or built by the Maya. While the site's mostly known as a Mayan archaeological site, there's evidence of influence from other cultures too. We have to remember that Chichen Itza was a place that was an important cultural center for between 600 to 800 years, from about the 7th century to its decline in the late 12th or 13th centuries. One group's influence that shows in the architecture and the symbology there is the Toltecs. The Toltec civilization flourished in central Mexico from about the 10th to the 12th centuries AD. And the Toltecs were known for their military prowess, architectural achievements, and cultural influence, and they left a lasting legacy in Mesoamerican history, including their capital city of Tula in the present-day Mexican state of Hidalgo, and their impact on later civilizations like the Aztecs. The Toltec influence is especially evident in a structure called the Temple of the Warriors, an impressive place built with over 200 columns, with reliefs of warriors and feathered serpents, typical Toltec symbols. Chichen Itza's role as a cosmopolitan center and a hub for trade and cultural exchange made it easy for the Maya, Toltecs, and others in Mesoamerica to meet and mix. Now, to make sure that we're all on the same page, when I say Mesoamerica, we mean the region extending down from central Mexico through parts of Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, and El Salvador in Central America. And here you'd talk about different civilizations like the Olmec, Maya, Zapotec, Mixtec, and Aztec, among others. But some people think that the influences are more than just the Toltecs or other indigenous groups. Graham Hancock, a British author known for his alternative theories on ancient and lost civilizations, suggests that ancient civilizations like the Maya may have had contact with other cultures outside of Mesoamerica, like ancient Egypt or even Atlantis. And he's also explored the possibility of advanced ancient civilizations predating all of these, proposing that these civilizations had knowledge and technologies that have since been lost to history. Despite its glory, Chichen Itza experienced a decline and was eventually abandoned for reasons that are subject of a seemingly endless debate. From what we know, several factors likely contributed to its demise. There's evidence that environmental factors like droughts and deforestation could have strained agricultural resources, leading to food shortages and social unrest. The arrival of the Toltecs from central Mexico around the 10th century might have introduced new political dynamics and cultural influences, changing the power dynamics in the region. One lesser-known aspect is that trade routes might have gone a different way due to natural factors like floods, storm damage, or that rival cities got control of trade routes, which would have been devastating to the city's influence. We've seen that today when small towns die when an interstate highway is built and routes traffic away from it. So I think that theory holds water. Ultimately, a combination of environmental, political, and social factors likely contributed to the decline and eventual abandonment of this once great Mayan city. So that's Chichen Itza back then. What about some of the latest discoveries? Well, that's where it gets interesting. Recent archaeological investigations at Chichen Itza have unveiled fascinating hidden chambers and structures inside the Pyramid of Kukulcan, shedding new light on its complexity and significance. Using advanced techniques such as LIDAR, which is light detection and ranging, researchers have discovered previously unknown chambers concealed inside the pyramid. One of the most significant discoveries is the presence of a smaller pyramid within the larger structure of the Pyramid of Kukulcan. This inner pyramid, measuring about 10 meters in height, was found inside of two other layers of construction, revealing that the pyramid was built in multiple phases over time. And if that wasn't enough, thanks to new technologies like LIDAR, researchers have found a cenote, a sacred well, right under the Pyramid of Kukulcan. 20 meters, or 65 feet below the temple, is a sinkhole that measures about 30 meters by 25 meters, so that's about 100 feet by 80 feet. Archaeologist Guillermo de Anda, an expert in underwater archaeology, says that building the pyramid over the sinkhole, and no one thinks it'll eventually fall in as it's much wider than the sinkhole, that it had to do with how the Maya saw their universe, and that the temple is located in the center of four sacred wells that align with the four cardinal directions, and that the one underneath symbolized the center of the world's axis and leads straight down to what the Maya understood to be Xibalba, the underworld. And there's more, friends. A new area was found recently in the Chichen Itza site when the Mexican government was conducting digging related to a new train project called the Tren Maya, the Mayan train. This place was given the name Chichanchob, and in this complex, they found a chamber that was adorned with inscriptions of a timeline of the different rulers of Chichen Itza and a neighboring site called Ekbalam. Researchers also found the head of an ancient warrior sculpture there that was likely from between the years of 650 and 900, which would have coincided roughly with what we know as the Dark Ages in Europe. The head was part of a larger sculpture, and the warrior was wearing a carved stone feathered headdress representing a snake from which the warrior's face emerges, a reference to the god Kukulcan, the feathered serpent god of the Maya. In recognition of its cultural and historical significance, Chichen Itza was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1988. Today, it's a testament to the ingenuity, spirituality, and artistic achievements of the ancient Maya civilization, inviting visitors from around the world to marvel at its wonders and unravel its mysteries. And with the constant research and archaeological activity going on there, I have no doubt they'll keep blowing our minds with new wonders and mysteries. For me, the site of Chichen Itza is a very special place, and I've been there on multiple occasions and made many memories there. And despite what I might consider blatant over-commercialization of the place, when you're there, you feel like you're in the presence of something very special and much bigger than you. If you come to our area here on vacation, make it a point to go and spend the day. You'll need most of the day to be able to see most of it. And let us know here at the podcast what you think of the area once you do. Friends, thank you for spending some time with us today as we journeyed through the stories, controversies, and mysteries of the ancient Mayan city of Chichen Itza. I hope it stimulated your curiosity and left you knowing a little more about the amazing culture of the ancient Maya. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and also so you can dive right into our growing vault of over 40 podcasts where we tell stories of the myths, legends, histories, and mysteries of North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean here on the Mysteries of Latin America podcast. Thanks again for listening, friends. We'll see you here next time. I'm Andrew Colon. Adios.